I think a well-known story of Jesus rebuking the storm. It is actually in three Gospels this story is mentioned, as from Luke we read already today, chapter 8. Mark chapter 4 does talk about it, and Matthew chapter 8 speaks about it as well. But all of them, they are just very short if you look at them. Matthew has got only 5 verses, Luke 4 verses, Mark is a little bit extended, but even that is 6 verses. What is so special about this one event that all these three Gospels have mentioned? A small event, great though it is, but just so small in number of verses, but has come in three Gospels. I believe that this, though small, but is really full of so many things the Lord, I believe, wants us to learn from it. As far as I'm concerned, the number one thing, I believe, what the Holy Spirit wanted from this for us to learn is the true identity of Lord Jesus Christ. And, it is about his divinity, his humanity, which comes very clear here. And I think that the main topic really should be, if you look the other two readings, i.e. the Psalm and the Revelation, should be on the identity of Jesus. Because if you look at Psalm, I think it's verse 7, that will tell that what actually the Lord is telling us here. But I am not going to speak on the topic of the identity or the divinity of Christ Jesus. I am going to focus on the storm that came on that particular day when Jesus and his disciples, they were in the boat and they wanted to go to the other side of the lake. This is, of course, the Lake of Gennesaret. It is also mentioned as the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee. That we who live in countries where there is a lot of rain and a lot of snow as well, in some of them, that lake is pretty small. Some of you, like me, perhaps have stood there, probably even have sailed in that lake. But altogether, that it is widest the spot, the Magdala, that its length is 13 miles, and its width is 7.5 miles. But because it is a place where water is not that common, so that's why even that size lake is known as Sea of Galilee. And here is a Finnish woman who comes from the land of lakes, smiling that with that sort of size of a lake called sea, but that is what it is. Its shape is actually like a harp. And whenever I have visited, and when I had thought of it, and when I know that the weather there is such this way because of its location, it's surrounded by hills and so on, without any warning, the storm or the wind can hit the place. And I often think that isn't it something wonderful? Even the nature is playing the harp, praising God's glory in that lake. So here we have that Jesus asked his disciples that let us go to the other side. Let's go start on a journey from here. Let's go to the other side. And as I have mentioned already, and those of you who know the place or have heard of it, you know it, that that place is a prune, that suddenly the storm could come. The waves which they seem, this lake which seems so calm, suddenly the high waves would come there. So that here is the situation, that where his close companions, all of them, most of them fishermen, that who knew how to row the boats, They are going into the water, and Jesus, I guess, probably felt relaxed that there are people who know what they are doing, and he did fall asleep. But suddenly, the lake's surface that was calm changed. The winds started to blow, the waves started to rise. And I guess that these men, when it started, they probably thought this is something not out of the ordinary, we will be all right. They have probably seen many these sort of events. But on this particular day, it seemed that they were losing the battle. The boat started to fill with water, almost overwhelmed. I don't know that when you have read this, that if you have ever wondered that what on earth these men were doing when they knew that Jesus was there with them, that instead of struggling, why didn't they wake him up? And as I thought about it, I thought that there may be four reasons that they did not wake Jesus up. First, perhaps, out of respect, well, he is tired, let him sleep. Why to bother him? We can handle it. It is, after all, that lake we have many times faced. Let him sleep in peace. The second, maybe a professional pride. And those of us who are, the professional, who have a responsible job, and let's face the fact, if things get muddled up, we have got 101 reason to dodge it, not to ask anybody else. After all, it is a pride. Goodness me, that you ask me some question on theology, if I don't know, I'm going to try to dodge it. After all, I am the rector. How would I let you know that I don't know it? Perhaps a professional pride. And third, and again, maybe, that they thought for a while, well, Jesus is there, let's awake him up. But then they said, nah, what could he do? He is, after all, a carpenter. We are the sailors. We know how to sort it out. You know. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm myself guilty that people like me, even that who need to depend on Jesus, at times it is, oh, this is something, I know how to do it. Why to bother him? And after all, this is, you know, the 21st century, rather sophisticated situations, problems, and people. Jesus, a man who lived more than 2,000 years ago. And then fourth, and then again, maybe, they knew that Jesus has done many, many tremendous things. But hey, this is something he can't handle. Why? Because you look in your psalm, look verse 7, that who is able to calm these sort of situations? It is God who can do it. It is God who rebukes and they go quiet. This is something we can't wake Jesus up. After all, he is son of Mary. What could he do? Maybe. So they tried and tried and tried again. But when no option was left, then suddenly they thought, why not to ask Jesus to do something? When my children were small, we whole family, our passion was in holidays, go and do climb the mountains. My son was, I think, 7 or 8 years old when he did climb Snowdonia with me. It was somewhere in Wales, but it wasn't Snowdonia. He was even younger than that. And me and him, we women remained at the foot of that hill, and we said that we are going to climb. And as we went up, and the wind started to blow in earnest. He was tiny. I tried to hide him. And to my shame, he shouted, "Dad, why don't you pray? Why don't you ask Jesus?" You know, so like me, they thought, "Can't do anything. Now let us wake him up." So he got up and rebuked the wind, and the rest is history recorded there. The calm came. Let me just sum up a little bit the situation once again and very quickly. The boat was controlled by expert sailors. They were fishermen, they were local, they knew the place. Second, this storm hit them suddenly without any warning. And the third, people who were in the boat, they were almost overwhelmed. And fourth, in all this turmoil, Jesus was asleep. They did not think that it is right to wake him up. But it is the last one on as a last resort, when nothing they could do, they did wake him up. What may we learn from it today for ourselves? I believe that it is not only me, but perhaps, like me, many of you have experienced that the troubles and the struggles of life, the storms in life, they always come unannounced. They never do tell beforehand it is going to happen. We heard last Sunday testimony, didn't we? That from here, the dear couple went with great joy for holidays. Nothing anywhere that storm will be hitting. Seldom the problems do announce that they are coming. And for us Christians, when they come, so many of us, we get even more unprepared. We get caught in it more at times unprepared than other people. Why? Because we think that we belong to Jesus, and us and the troubles can't be. And when they come, then sadly we feel hurt, and we feel that Jesus is somewhere asleep. He does not pay attention. But my friends, if I don't sound to be too direct, I want to tell you that if you are an average human being, and if not yet, it's only a matter of time that some storm of life is going to catch up with you. Sorry if it doesn't sound very pleasant, because that's the reality. Reality of this world in which we live. The reality of human life. Paul, in his epistle or letter to the Romans, he put it this way beautifully. We know that the whole creation hath been groaning in labor, pain, until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. As long as we are in the lake of life, until we have reached the other side of this our lake, somewhere storm is going to come. And Jesus himself, he did make it very clear that in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said that In the world you face persecutions, but take courage. I have conquered the world. He never ever promised that you follow me and life will be smooth. I openly do tell from what sort of churchmanship I come from, but one of the most horrible thing I find with the people of my churchmanship, when they preach and then they say, you come forward, you just come and let me pray and all is going to be well. I have often told people, if somebody tells you that, you don't go there, you run out. Because life is going to be even harder when you have gone up there. Because that's the reality. So my brothers and sisters, reality is that if we are human beings, it is going to happen. It happens. Who knows? Somebody may be going even today through it. If that is the reality, what can we do? And very quickly, three things. Make sure Jesus is in the boat. Jesus in the boat of your life. Don't leave him there. Because sometimes it is a danger that Sunday we come to church, have little fellowship with him, and then say, well, you stay here, let me go out into the world. Why the old world there? Let me go there. No, take Jesus with. Second, it is wonderful to be independent. It is wonderful to be resourceful. But hey, when the situation is, don't wait. Call upon him. Call upon him. He wants to hear from you. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3, call upon me and I will answer. Once, and third is that when you have called upon him, have faith. Stand firm in your faith. You call, he will respond and he will take care. So let me just quickly again say four things. First, if you are a human being, troubles, storms of life are reality. But before they come, make sure Jesus is in the boat of your life. Second, when he is in, don't hesitate to wake him up. He will be not disturbed. He will be disturbed if you don't. Wake him up. And third, once call upon him, depend upon him. Have faith. May God increase faith in us.